If they want you to take that thermostat off, they're going to have to call you to get, or somebody, another contractor is going to have to go in there and take it off. And guess what? You're going to get an alert saying, hey, your thermostat's been deactivated. Now you know somebody else took that customer from you. And guess what? You send them roses, a gift card of, hey, did we do something wrong? Right? You actually know that there's something wrong. Right now, nobody knows shit. Right. Like, customers are pissed off at us at NextGen or whatever company you're at. Nobody knows. You know how you find out? A Yelp review, a Google review, all that. And you want to protect your image no matter what. So now you're going to be able to find a pissed off client before they go on Yelp, before they go on Google, right?
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up To The Point listeners? It's your boy Chris. I'm excited because I got my buddy in the studio today. And what you don't know is behind the scenes, this is actually take two. Take two. So I want to, you know, there's this thing called accountability we talk about on here from time to time. And sometimes, as great as our podcast production is, we have some flubs. Maybe this was on purpose and Ishmael set that shit up right out of the gate. Is that what happened? So anyway, we were doing this again. I have my good buddy Ishmael Valdez sitting in here.
What up?
Face to face with me, trying to play footsie. So I had to keep moving a little bit further away from him. But
Let me find out, Chris.
We were talking pre-podcast about our different commitments, and I was busting his chops because I need to make sure he made it on time. And no, he didn't make it on time.
It was only 15
minutes late. That's a win.
That's a win for me.
That's a W for Ishmael. And so we're in here. I'm excited, man, because you and I, especially over the last, let's call it year, have become even closer. And I know all the things about you and you know all the things about me. And we have our peer group, our LSD crew that we talk about all the stuff through. So like, we're family.
Dope ass group.
And so I'm excited to share some of those things on here too. And listen, you've been on a ton of podcasts. You've got a lot of different episodes. And what was interesting whenever you and I were talking about what we're, you know, or we're texting back and forth to what we're going to talk about on this podcast. And I was thinking back, you know, the first time I ever heard you present was at Rhino X, our very first Rhino X.
You're right.
And you sucked.
I know. I was nervous.
Well, I know you're nervous, but it's interesting because actually what you were saying was good, but you were so fucking nervous that it was kind of coming out like all over the board, kind of like Tommy. good shit, but it's like you kind of hard to follow it.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I've heard you speak many times since then, and just, you know, I think back to that situation and where you even were, you know, then to now, like, you've come a long way, man. Like, super proud of you just from like that perspective. Just forget business. Like, I'm talking like going out, getting your shit together, actually creating some slides and somewhat following them is another win for you. and listen, slides are just meant to keep you on track for us who have ADHD. So
I agree,
but excited to have you on here and talk through a couple different things on this one. One, you know, in our group, we talk about a lot of different things. In our LSD group, we talk about a lot of different things. Probably 60% of it we would be canceled for, so we won't share 60%.
That's so the dopest part.
We'll talk about the other 40%. But we talk, you know, about all types of stuff from operational stuff to sales to labor management to
comparing each other's, you know, numbers and what we're doing. That's probably like my favorite part.
And the wins, the losses.
The losses, like, are dope too.
And what's cool about it is, you know, everybody's accomplished some things in the group, so it is relatable. But we're also not afraid to call each other out on our bullshit.
Agree.
You know, and I like that part. But everybody, like, I the last one that we were in, I don't think you were in because you had a board meeting.
Yep.
I maybe said like two words.
Yep.
I was just taking notes.
Yep.
And it was like, that's part of what's cool about it is, even though it didn't directly like pertain to me, it's the knowledge I get from the contractor perspective to understand like what the hell's going on. What are some things you guys face? Which then allows me to coach my team who's talking to contractors to say, hey, be aware of these things, have these conversations. So bringing you on and talking through some of that is important. And to kick it, you know, to kick it off for the listeners, I want to hit on this labor management piece of it, you know, and I know you've kind of got beat up a little bit on, in your market on some of these things too. And others are experiencing the same shit
everywhere,
all over. And so I want to address it. And then talk about, you know, what's the pivot, you know, what do we do?
Yeah,
well, especially cause you built like you, once you really got solid leadership in places, when you were really able to scale next gen. Like,
yep.
I think if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in, at the end of last year, you finished just sub 130 or somewhere in that mark. Where the hell did you finish last year?
It was like 116.
Okay, so 116. So leading up to that, though, I think most people have heard the story about you met Tom Howard when you were in your 30 millions or 38 million or somewhere around there, and then you started to learn what gross profit was and all that shit.
P&L.
Exactly, all the things. And so, but to where it is today, you know, post-acquisition and all the things and your involvement with it. And you've actually been through quite a journey even post-acquisition, man.
Bro.
I mean, you learned a lot about yourself in post-acquisition. And you've also learned a lot about how you can have good leadership, but there's nobody who can replace you.
Dude, that was 2023 lesson.
Uh-huh.
That was business. Fucking crazy, man.
So even though, you know, it was still a another big year at NextGen.
Of course.
You wake up, and I think what you told me is you wake up like you're broke every morning.
Every fucking day, bro.
So
I feel broke too. And I'm like, dude, you know, after all the money, we obviously it's still there and we, you know, the wealth is still there. But like, I think it's a fucking feeling that I just have every single day. I wake up, I'm like, dude, I need to make money. The fuck?
Well, you know what? I think probably the thing I've loved learning the most about you is, you know, you've got, those of you who listen to Ishmael, talk at whether it be Pantheon or on podcasts or at X or wherever, man, you've seen him speak. There's been like different phases of him, and different levels of professionalism along the way. I know like I know all the behind the scenes shit on Ishmael Valdez, and he's got a big ass heart. And I knew that from the beginning. I told you that from the beginning. I could see that. And it's just, how do you express it?
Yeah.
And that's the part I'm talking about. Like, that's coming out differently now. Like, you're like, I don't want to say growing up, but you're growing up in the professional world. Like, you know, and that's a big deal. But part of it is your mentality on like, you hear Goodrich say this, he's always a student. As much as this dude is accomplished, he's still always a student. I'm not sure he's waking up thinking he's, you know, poor.
Yeah, of course. You know what? I beg to differ, man. Me and Ken relate in a lot of things, and we probably text 100 times a day now, and we talk a lot now. And I'm telling you, like, you know, he's beyond wealthy now, and I promise you, he still wakes up and still hungry.
Yeah.
He still wants to learn. He's still asking questions. He's asking me questions. Yeah. He's asking, like, you know, dope-ass questions that make you think.
Yeah, well, and that's what, so that's what I like about that, too. The only downside to it is it's always business with, because that's it. Like, that is what he loves to do.
That's his hobby. That's his life. And then that's our life, too. Yeah. It's not, you know, we have little, you know, side things that we do here and there, but like, dude, 90% of the time that me and you are talking, or 95% of the time that we're on LSD, we're talking, you know, shit about business.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's all what we can enjoy, and it's like, you know,
and we can relate.
Yeah, and if I go home, Anna sure as hell does not want to hear any
exactly.
of that.
So, that too.
You know, and I think it's what is cool about, and you know, Rhino X is coming up here in a few weeks, and I mean, if
I can't wait,
flew by. We just made the announcement, you know, today that Coach Saban is coming in to be the keynote speaker, which
that's
is huge. He just retired. Like, this is going to be, I was so excited. I didn't think it was going to happen. We had to jump through so many hoops to get it done. And then we got Flo Rida closing out with another private concert.
That's dope.
But you were involved in like a bunch of shit. So it's not just the next gen stuff. You've got Nuva, you've got DataCube, you got the roofing game too.
Yep.
So
you've seen us from here.
You got your hibachi restaurants, you're getting the fucking juice bars. Like, you're getting into that retail restaurant, you know, business. And it's because you're getting smarter at business.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're able to see more because you've had so many conversations. Like, if Goodrich, you know, is picking at you or asking you questions, like, it, you know, causes you to think. This is what I love about Rhino X, because it doesn't matter what size of business you are, you're going to learn some shit from somebody
not just learn something in there. The knowledge, the concentrated knowledge that you get at Rhino X, you don't get anywhere else, because everywhere else there's 500, 1,000, 2,000 people spread out into different rooms. So you don't get that intimacy of like, hey, I have your attention for 10 minutes, like just me. That's the dopest part about Rhino. It's like the vibe that's in there, that the contractors that do come in that want to learn from us, like, they get to experience 10 minutes of Goodrich or 10 minutes of Leland where they have your full attention.
Right.
That's dope.
Yeah. That's the most exciting part for me is just watching it happen. Like, cause I'm proud that I was able to bring that shit together and keep bringing it together. I think this might be Geiger's last run.
Damn.
So on the Legends panel, cause I really had to talk him into it this year.
Yeah, he's old. You gotta give it to him.
He's just trying to do his thing, man. So, okay. So I want to move forward. Well, I'm excited for you. So you'll be back here I'm not sure when you're ever in town or not in town. You usually tell like
the day of,
and you don't even live that far away from me. Your house is close to mine, but it'll be exciting to have all my boys here, in town and all the speakers. And we have, added some, I got from even in your wrench family, not only do we have your daddy in town,
Kenny
in town, but we got Morris. We got Bancroft and Paul Kelly. So we're doing it a little bit different. I don't want to ruin the surprise in case somebody hears it, but we're doing it a little bit different with those two.
Hey, but before you move on to the subject, JB, Jonathan, Morris Jenkins, if I could tell you one person that I'm excited to see speak, I've seen him speak at a board meeting for like a quick 15 minutes. If there's one person in the room that everybody should be listening to, is that dude.
Yeah.
That dude has profit growth, like his level of intelligence in the operational side of it and on the sales side of it is fucking insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I've known him a long time. You don't see him go and speak anywhere.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying though. Like you brought him up to Rhino X is a dude. Just if you would just put Jonathan up there for an hour to talk to us, it's worth the whole trip.
Yeah.
That guy's a beast.
Well, I'm excited for it too. So I wanted to not go down the path too much longer and waste time. I want to get into this labor management stuff.
Let's do it.
Even though we hear it in our groups, I hear it from contractors all over the place. Oh, yeah. And I just had a podcast a few weeks ago with Alicia Green, $17 million company in the Triad, which is in North Carolina. And she's got so much private equity in her market, like Apex, Turnpoint,
everything. Like SoCal.
So with that comes
competition.
She's got good leadership that had come in from some of those deals because they left for XYZ reason. Some of it being, maybe it's not about like a term point specifically, but it's about who's now leading the charge at
100%.
And they, so you'll hear people leave leaders, not small companies. I'm hearing this so frequently on almost every other conversation I have is around, some people are losing great talent while others are gaining that great talent.
Yeah.
And you're experiencing some of
both,
these things.
Both. I'm gaining great talent. I lost a couple of people that I shouldn't have lost. But the labor management side of it is where the biggest opportunity for the mom and pop shops are right now. That's the biggest opportunity for, private equity came in here and swept us all. And there's a side of private equity that people don't like. And people don't talk about it is the compliance side.
Yeah.
The compliance, you got to do things a certain way to be able to protect the whole pie.
Right.
Right. So, and there's some people that aren't meant to be in the corporate world. So those people are going to go to, somewhere where they feel more valued, comfortable, whatever they're looking for. But dude, the labor management side right now, both, how much it's going to cost us to keep labor in the private equity side and on the private side is insane right now. That's one of the main topics that I want to talk about today for sure.
So like, this has come up more recent with you because we've been talking about it. Like, what are you doing, man? Like did you have to pivot? Is there a game plan? Is it just, hey, I got to pay closer attention to this or to that? Or like what? So
dude, honestly, it comes down to energy and attention. Like everybody in, north of $25 million cashed out and, private equity came in there and, they put structure in there, they put compliance in there. Some people don't like that. Some people like walking into work and, not feeling like they have to perform at a certain number. They have to work on a certain KPI. They have to work, like they don't want to feel like they're being used to, capitalize to recapitalize on something, right? Some people just want to come to work and have fun. And that's, I think that the dark side of the private equity, not everyone is the same. Like I got lucky with Ranch and, they let us do our own thing, but like now you have private equity money everywhere, right? Now you have like Southern California is probably the biggest private equity game, right? Because there's, you know, 50 million people in there. There's 100,000 contractors.
Monsterplex.
A monster, right? So So now these people, these private equity people figured out that in order for them to scale a business, they need better people. Yeah. They need more people. They need higher quality people, right? So now it's grabbing from everybody's grabbing from each other's pocket, to be honest with you. And that's the bad side of it, because some people are leaving for money, but most people, I think, feel a certain way, a comfort of going to work for somebody that still owns their own company and that isn't going to, you know, put cameras on their vehicles and put microphones on their vehicles and like all the little extra shit that like the business side, it bulletproofs the business. That's the dope side. But on the downside, it just corporate, it makes the environment super corporate. And dude, everybody's going to feel it. Everybody's going to feel it. You guys got to understand too, the mom and pops are smart too.
Yeah.
They're not going to just sit around and let private equity come in and take the whole slice of the pie. They're starting to step up their game and know that, hey, I'm at $5 million right now. If I hired a couple people to mentor me or recruit or, you know, put a better sales process or a better install, whatever it is, if I do that and I scale it to 20, 25 million, I could make money too.
That's right.
So you guys got to understand, like, it's not just that private equity is coming in here and making it corporate and making it strict and making it bulletproof and all that. It's that the mom and pop shops are smartening up too. And they're not going to let, you know, they know that they need to acquire better talent and they know that they need to be smart about who they're going to hire so they could go to the next level. Because, dude, those people are going to want to sell too. They want to make money too.
Yeah,
so you can't blame them.
No, not at all. And so that's what I really wanted you to start to talk about is the opportunity for the privately held businesses that are so small. But you know what's crazy is that there's still a decent chunk of businesses that did feel like those the 21, 22, the unicorn year growth.
Yep.
And then they learned like, oh shit, I got to pay attention to, like, I'd stop paying attention to some things because volume was coming in.
Labor management.
And they, yeah, absolutely. And by the way, inflation and pricing increases and did you change your pricing and all the things. And even debt, like people are coming up on debt now, like, and they're like, oh shit. So there is there's a really good opportunity for those. And let me back up a second. You and I were just talking about this before we came along about Q1.
Yep.
Like, you know, we were just talking about, well, hey man, how's Q1 going? And which is normal conversation for us. And I gave my 2 cents on what I believe Q1's going to be. It's shaking out the way I thought.
Bloodbath.
But if you get through Q1,
yeah,
if you can get through Q1, I think you're going to be just fine this year. Q1's going to be hard. But here's how I was going with that is I actually think there's another little wave coming in here in acquisitions, in potential acquisitions for private equity. It's those that saw that, say, $5 to $20 million scale or $15 million and then, like, didn't pay attention to the business. So it's kind of like, now what do I do with this? Because I've had those conversations with our own customers that are going to say, all right, man, like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And because you made some money or you sold it to XY, but now it's getting hard again.
Of course.
So for those that are maybe thinking about that, that certainly is 100%. An option. Like, so
dude, I'll give you the sweet spot right now. The sweet spot for any contractor out there, whether you're roofing, solar, fucking electrical, HVAC, whatever you want, whatever you're at, the sweet spot's between 20 mil. 18 to 20 mil, 25 mil around there. You could make great fucking money at 20 to 25 mil with 15 to 20% on the bottom.
Yeah.
Right. That is the sweet spot. It's manageable. You could still churn it to 2 to 3, maybe even 4 times, as you grow it. But private equity's new game is going to be that 20 to 25 million dollar, contractor. Everybody is got swept at 100 mil,
yeah,
and they learned their fucking lesson,
yeah.
Right? They learned that at $100 million, $150 million business, yeah, it is hard to sustain, number one. Number two, it's hard to grow past that, right? There's probably maybe 5-10 contractors across the nation that get past 150, 200 mil. It's hard. So, and the people that can operate that type of business are few and far in between. So private equity is not stupid. They're not going to keep dumping their money on that. So I think the biggest opportunity for, you know, for Rhino people and for anybody out there that's listening, is growing to 20, 25 mil profitably, structuring a management system, you know, getting your HR department nice and sophisticated, your marketing department, right?
Yep.
At that scale, like the company you can run on, you know, 4 to 6 top tier people. It doesn't need 100 people to run the whole company. So I believe the best opportunity right now is 20 to 25 mil, whatever sector you're in. Those $100-150 million players, they're still going to buy them, but they're not going to trade as much as the 20-25.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the, you know, just want you to be aware, you know, to listeners, to be aware, like, and to know the actual numbers if you wanted to put a goal in place. Cause we did a podcast, you know, I think it was about a month or so ago with Hoffman around like building their budgets from the bottom up and like his plan. And then, but we were also just talking about how you can lose great talent if you don't pick the right partner too. Yep. So all these things, you know, play out. But you might only be one good hire away from some scaling.
Exactly, bro. So people need to pay attention to that.
That's the point I'm getting at is, you know, there is a lot of really great talent that can be that one person that takes you to a whole nother level. And I promise you it's out there, but you have to actively go look for it. Cause I promise you your competitors are, but people are, you know, people aren't, you know, are leaving after a while.
You got to pay attention
to those things.
You got to understand that like this private equity showed a different lifestyle to everybody. Like, dude, our employees are not stupid, right? Yeah. Like, our employees are not stupid. They know we sold. They know that the wealth that came behind it. Like, they're not just going to sit around and be like, well, you know, let me keep making them money. Like, these people have an opportunity to make money, too. They could start their own business. Like, I believe there's going to be a spur of technicians, sales guys, installers, of them being, you know, self-conscious and looking around being like, hey, I could do it too. If, you know, dumbass Ishmael could do it. Why not?
This is the trend, right? Like this is what happens. Yes. Like it's the same thing. So it's just another cycle of it coming about.
Agreed.
So, you know, there's just a lot of opportunity even for anybody who's private to really scale your business and find solid leadership. That's the point I'm getting at with all this stuff. But these are the great conversations that we have. And then we talk about different ways to tackle them and shit like that in our groups. But you know, you said a couple of things. One, you got to make sure that your organization is on point, your leadership's on point, your marketing's on point, like all the things are in place. And then, you know, some of the podcasts I've been doing is around, are you adding anything different to your service line? Are you just trying to like focus on blocking and tackling? Are you like, what are you doing differently? Or what are you doing to make your customers more sticky? Your memberships stickier, right? Like there's things. And this is where the Nuve conversation, I think, is an easy segue because it certainly helps with that.
And I'm not trying to say because I came up with the product or, you know, because I've been working on it for 2 years. Nuve is going to be hands down the highest retention for memberships, retention for client, period, that our sector in the HVAC industry will ever see. Like, it literally mimics the alarm model. Like when you go get an alarm, what happens? You got to redo the whole software for them. You got to buy new panels, new sensors, and their sensors only communicate with their panels, which is their screen on the wall, right? Like you have to go with them, right? Same thing with the idea behind the thermostat is making sure that people know who serviced it, who installed it. The first place that people go for their air conditioning when it's not working or when they need something, guess what? It's the thermostat. Right? You know how many thermostats have been installed this year or last year or whatever in a 12-month cycle? Millions and millions of thermostats are installed and all they say is Honeywell, Nest, Ecobee, whatever on it. But nobody knows who installed it. Nobody knows who serviced it. They go back on Google, right? So you're repaying for that marketing.
That's right.
Like, you understand what I'm about to tell you. Ready? I go to a customer's house and I replace their induced draft motor or their sensor, ignite or whatever. And 5 months later, something goes wrong. They're going to go back on Google and Google Next Gen, click on an ad that I'm paying for to be able to contact me back. Like, bro, you're paying again for that lead that's already been purchased. Now imagine if you could go to the thermostat, you touch the button and it dispatches a technician or something goes wrong. The name's right then and there, right? Like, or on their app. Now they don't have to Google you. Now your marketing dollars are not going to be spent on your same clients. They could go on their app,
right?
Dispatch a tech from their app. On the app, it's all color-coded and Lego and their logos everywhere of NextGen, Morris Jenk, whatever company you're at, Bob's Heating and Air. It's on your app and it's on the wall. The marketing impact that it's going to have is going to be insane. And the cool part, nobody can work on that unit but you, because you're going to get an alert of saying, hey, somebody's trying to get into your unit. Can you imagine knowing You know how many systems we've installed at Nexgen? 40,000-50,000 systems. You don't think I know that there's other people working on those systems that, you know, they might have called somebody else because we couldn't get out there fast enough, or they might have called somebody else because, you know, we pissed them off or whatever it is. But I don't know that because they already called somebody else. Now you're going to be able to know and be able to save that client. Hey, we noticed you're trying to get into your settings menu. Is there anything we could help you with? Like, that's mind-boggling to me how we installed millions and millions of thermostats and nobody knows who fucking installed them. Yeah. Like, nobody ever thought about connecting the CRM back to the thermostat. Like, that's dope, right?
Well, but also this is just the advances in technology, man. So it's just like AI shit. Like, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And then when it hits you, you're like, what was I, like, how did I not do this? Yeah. Dude. So I want to hit on a few things because, I mean, I've known about it for a while now.
Yep.
We demoed it at Rhino X last year.
Yeah.
We had like,
yeah, finally
like,
done.
It was
cool.
That Jeez. Was awesome. It looks fantastic. It looks awesome. So if I'm a contractor and I was like, okay, I've heard Ish talk about Nuve. My question to you would be, what's the main like objection that you get, or the main things that people are asking you? Like,
dude, as main a, thing as, is how much is
contractor?
It? How much is it? They're like, hey, Shmuel, how much are you going to spend it for? Look, it's $395. It's almost the same cost of as a Nest thermostat, but you're going to be able to control that customer from day one to the day they buy a new system, right? You're going to be able to auto update the thermostats. You're going to be able to send messages on the thermostat. You want to say happy, you want to program it so it can say happy birthday to your customer by Nexgen, or you want to put, you know, a Christmas logo on your, whatever you want to do. It's a customizable thermostat, but it's $395. That's the one question I always get. When is it ready? It's ready already. There's 110,000 units getting done already. You know, who is it going to be available to? Service Titan users first, just because we were able to connect the CRM right all the way to the thermostat. Yes, it's going to be available for the other CRMs. Right now, we're just focused on the Service Titan, just because they gave us API access and we're able to connect it. But your customer experience is going to mind boggle you, because you're going to be able to dispatch a technician from the thermostat. You're going to be able to, you know, not talk to a CSR anymore, right? You're going to be, if something goes wrong, you're going to be able to know it before it goes wrong. The best part about it, and what I'm more excited about, is to be able to see the labor management on side of it. Because guess what? Right now, everybody in the fucking world waits till it's 100 degrees in April or May, and it's 100 degrees, and now you have 10,000 thermostats getting turned on all at once. Yep. And how many warranties are you running right now? How many install crews are being sent to warranties? Technicians are being sent to warranties. You know why they're being sent? Because everybody turned on the thermostat at once, right? You're going to be able to auto cycle these units from your dashboard, from your app. So, you know, the CSR or dispatcher, production department manager, whoever you have managing your client experience, they're going to be able to, you know, auto start units based on zip code or install dates, whatever you want to do. If you have 10 units that are installed in Glendale, Arizona, you can start all 10 units and be able to see, okay, cool, all 10 units was turned on. They were able to satisfy the thermostat. If one of them didn't go, you catch it in January, February, and in March, not in June, July, and August. So imagine what that's going to do to the labor side of it.
Yeah, you didn't have to roll a truck out there.
Bro.
It is cool. Like, all of that is cool, because I look at it as an efficiency, and it's a massive cost savings. And it's still is sticky, and it allows you to catch shit quick, sometimes even before the homeowner.
Dude, it's a thermostat, but essentially it's the best marketing source that this industry will see, hands down.
Yeah.
Dude, you're going to be, why wouldn't you give these thermostats to every single one of your clients?
Yeah, because what's a average cost per lead for you?
Fucking 500, 1,000, whatever it is.
So, like, I'm saying, this would be like
replacing it.
So what is it retailing for? Or what are people retailing it for? That you're seeing? Like, do you know?
I'm probably going to do about $1,200 for it. But essentially we want to prove out a model where you want to give them out to every customer.
Gotcha.
That's the model you want to prove out, because if you can cut your marketing in half by installing these thermostats, because now guess what? You're going to be able to have information of like, hey, I have 20 10-year-old units out there, right? With a Nuve thermostats. Let me cycle them, see if anything's wrong. And now if anything's wrong, look, trip out on this, right? Now if anything's wrong, when the technician walks in the door, the thermostat is saying that there's something wrong. Not the technician walking in and being like, hey, ma'am, there's something wrong with your unit. The technician is coming in just to verify everything that's that the thermostat's saying. So imagine what the mindset of the consumer is going to change. They're not going to be on your technician. Oh, you're just trying to sell me. Hey, ma'am, I'm just here because the thermostat's telling me there's something wrong with the unit and I want to fix it.
Be proactive.
Exactly.
Yep, gotcha.
So now you bring all the walls down. The customer's going to be way more, you know, comprehensive of the situation because it's not a human being telling them or selling them something. It's the thermostat telling them, hey, there's something wrong. I'm here to fix it. Here's your options.
Yep. Yeah. That's, I mean, all of that stuff is cool. It's been neat to watch this thing like come along, and then to actually see it. Cause every time we see, you know, Ishel posts pictures in our group too, just what it look like, it looks good. Cause dude, you want something to look like shit on the wall. It looks like tech, like it looks, you know, fancy.
It's clean, man. It's clean.
So, it does look good. So the reason I thought it made sense to talk about it is a tool that you can use. That's easy to install. It makes a customer more sticky for you.
100%
can cut marketing costs when you get enough of these things.
Labor
cost efficiency role. I mean, all the things retention that you gotta be paying attention to.
Retention is the number one thing. Mm. You should be paying attention to your retentions of your customers. If they use you once, how many more times are they using you? By putting this thermostat, you're 100% guaranteeing that they're gonna call you back. Whether they're pissed off or not, you're gonna get a call. Because if they want you to take that thermostat off, they're gonna have to call you to get somebody else on, or somebody, another contractor is gonna have to go in there and take it off. And guess what? You're gonna get an alert saying, hey, your thermostat's been deactivated. Now you know somebody else took that customer from you. And guess what? You send them roses, a gift card, or hey, did we do something wrong? Right? But you actually know that there's something wrong. Right now, nobody knows shit. Right. Like, customers are pissed off at us at NextGen or whatever company you're at. Nobody knows. You know how you find out? A Yelp review, a Google review, all that. And you want to protect your image no matter what. So now you're going to be able to find a pissed off client before they go on Yelp, before they go on Google, right?
So let's do this because I want to segue. Just give real quick if somebody's I'm not sure when they can order, if they can start to order.
They're going to start ordering probably in March 1st. Okay. NuveHome.com, guys, we're taking in applications in there. Like I said, these are 110,000 units. I promise you they're going to be gone the first month. So we are going to take some pre-orders. Everything's going to be COD. You buy as many as you want. There is a perk. If you buy the first 100 thermostats, you do get a customizable app with your logo. So the customer's turning on the thermostat, turning off, scheduling the fan, doing everything on a customizable app that's going to be on their home screen. Okay. That's going to be on their home screen. Cause right now they're going on a Nest app. They're turning on their unit. They're turning it off. It's going to be a customizable app with your logo. And once they go on the app, everything's you. It's not Nuve. I don't even want the customers to know it's a Nuve thermostat. I want them to know it's you.
Yeah. So I know that, to Anna, the app matters so much. Sure, it needs to be easy. It needs to be easy to use. Super. It needs to actually fucking work.
Exactly.
It actually needs to work, and it does look really good, and it is super easy. Like even the color coding things, like simple things that our brains are trained to look at.
Of course.
So now you've got some additional tools that you can add to your belt and use. And,
amen.
And in home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. So I want to segue into DataCube stuff. So, you know, the thing I think I got to tell you guys this in the group, but I don't know that I had like confirmed it yet, but we made an offer to a phenomenal hire. Here's where I'm going with it is we needed somebody internally here who could get into all things Service Titan, not nice. Just the marketing shit, all things Service Titan, and start connecting dots between our reporting dashboard and Service Titan, because there's like lead attribution issues all the time. Like they're being time. Changed by CSRs and shit like that. And I'm like, when we dug into it, my mind was blown. I was like, what in the hell? Like,
it's insane.
Once we dug into it, I learned how much was not being not being tracked that we actually brought in. And then I'm pissed at myself.
Yeah. Thinking you're underperforming, but you're really not.
For not even catching it quicker. Dude. So, and sometimes like I lost a customer I should not have lost. And I was like, how the hell did that happen? And that's what triggered it for me. And I was like, okay, we got to solve this problem. One of the things I've learned over all these years is sometimes the best thing that contractors will do is nothing with it. So I have to do it for them. You know, not all, I'm saying a lot though, are just like, like you look at the closed revenue and Service Titan and you're like, oh, they fucking sucked or oh, they did a good job, but really they didn't look at all the lead opportunity that came in. But here's the biggest takeaway I had from it. And what I like about DataCube too, is it shows like all the data, all the accurate data in there. And it's they're clean apps. You've seen them. If you've ever posted them, if you just go onto website,
datacubeai.com.
There you go. And you'll see all these things. But what I like to catch is, and you got to know these numbers. I wanted to know them. Every, you know, lead that you pay for, you have to track in some way. You got to know exactly what's working for you. But you also got to hold yourself accountable for what you're doing.
Amen.
So if you have, you know, pending proposals out there with cash attached, you know, with cash attached to it, let's say you gave them three proposals. You got it, and you still know, like, okay, well, that came from somebody who searched for AC repair. You haven't closed it. Well, that's not on marketing. It's still on you, but you need to know the number.
Of course.
And then if you know the number, then you can rehash that stuff. You can go back after it. You can try and chase it down and lock it down. But then at least you know if it's legit your marketing company or you, the contractor, right?
I guarantee you half of it is the contractor too. They're always trying to blame the marketing company, but dude, you guys got to hold yourselves accountable too.
Well, they'll also blame Service Titan, right? Because there's that factor that comes into it as well. So it is a mixture of things. I understand how it's a pain in the ass sometimes. I mean, and this is where, you know, it sucks to be Tom Howard in our group because he's the one that we always go to and meet up on for it. But, you know, you got to have something in place that's more than just like, I've prided myself. We built this business on the back of our reporting being so transparent, listening to every single phone call human being here in the U.S. to hear how was the call handled by the CSR and did you get it booked?
That's dope, man. Honestly,
and
a lot of people provide that. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but like, I would say probably nobody provides that. They're actually here. You guys are actually verifying that the call is being booked properly for us. Like, that's super dope.
Well, you're listening to it because I'm being held responsible for.
Of course, a lead, of course. Oh, right? I get it. Trust me, I get it. It's fucking. It mind boggles me how nobody does it, but you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, it was just one of these deals where I thought if people just know exactly what we did, we won't lose them. That was the mentality of it. Like, you know, early on, and it is true, but also like shows if you sucked, like, and you have those months too. So, but DataCube was one of these things that came from your original conversation with Tom. And like when you were starting to think through and uncover things on how you could track and measure stuff. And then you rolled out, you know, DataCube.
Yep.
And a lot of people, like, especially out of the gate when they were building it, were posting, they're fucking taking pictures in their offices and stuff with the boards and stuff like that. So it almost felt like Nuve took over in your brain for a little bit. And you haven't talked about DataCube as much. So I wanted to ask you, like, what's the update with it? Or what's the update?
Dude,
what's
going on with it? I think we're close to 550, 600 contractors in it now.
Okay, I didn't know
so, it yet. Yeah. I haven't promoted as much just because I've been working on Nuve so diligently. But, like, DataCube is, dude, that was my, you know, Tom came up to me and presented the idea. And then I kind of took it from there and made it, you know, a live KPI software, made it dope as fuck, obviously. But, the idea behind it was to know, because you look in 2019, how you were making fun of me right now, I didn't know what gross profit was. Yeah. I didn't know what a P&L was. Like I heard of it, but I've never really like
understood
right. it. And when Tom came to my shop and educated me on it, that's when I'm like, okay, so in order for the P&L to get affected, one of the biggest things that affect your financials is the performance of your people. Yeah, your marketing does, you know, your marketing affects it and your pricing affects it and all that. But essentially, the people are the ones that run the P&L,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. And the idea behind it was, how do I increase performance, or how do I get to know live data coming in so I can make better decisions on who gets what lead? Which is, dude, you're paying $20 an hour right now, $25 an hour if the dispatcher is lucky to be making that decision, which is the most critical decision in the basic concept that I came up with, right? In the basic system that I came up with, it's a second step. Booking is the first step. Assigning the call is a fucking art. Okay, assigning the call to the proper technician, to the proper project manager, to making sure that you can capitalize on that. And but everybody was doing it based on a fucking whiteboard on their training room, or based on their service manager, like telling them, oh, this guy's hot right now, or this guy can sell this. Like, nobody was actually grabbing actual data and making those decisions. And that was the concept behind DataCube when I came up with it. You know, I think it's been 2.5-3 years that I came up with it. And it was that. I'm like, bro, we can't rely the whole, you know, system of operation based on a $20, $25 an hour dispatcher. There has to be different layers of people in there with different knowledge to be able to make the decision of who gets that call. Obviously, you guys know right now, it's shoulder season. Yep. You're lucky if you're getting demand calls.
Yep.
But right now, you're giving it to the dispatchers, giving it to the technician that they like the most, yep, or that they have a better relationship with, or that went to high school with them. And your business is being fucking ran on that.
Yeah.
Instead of like, okay, what's going, who, like, what are the numbers telling us? Who's selling the most IAQ right now? Who is, you know, better on drain calls? Who is the best performer on water heater flushes? And actually make an educated decision on that, not a $20.
Yeah. Who's the strongest person to run the lead? Bro. Yeah, of course. Yes. So, I mean, that makes the most sense. So, but this has been, something that you've dealt with the same, like you've dealt with this,
of course,
and everybody listening at some
don't matter the scale. It doesn't matter if you're a $1 million fucking company or a $100 million company. The art of assigning the right call is what makes the business, you know, those double digit profits.
Yeah, it is, because even the human being,
of course,
can impact that P&L. Yeah.
Of course.
Either way, man, just by making those decisions. But they're not thinking about it like that.
No.
They're not thinking about it.
They're putting their feelings in there instead of looking at a fucking report.
It's an emotional decision. Yes. I understand. So this is where I'm going with that is, this is a great tool to use that if you right now are relying on somebody checking a box and they pick up the phone.
Or wiping a whiteboard.
And by the way, like, don't, yeah, or the whiteboard, which is, bro, still everywhere.
I walk into shops and there's whiteboard with technician names.
I just saw one,
and
man,
different KPIs on it.
I just saw one.
And literally the service manager sometimes will forget to wipe out the KPIs for 2-3 days. So they're going based on data that's 4 or 5 days old. Like, I'm like, what the, like, are you guys serious?
Yeah, not that you're saying you can't use whiteboards, yeah, to, but like, that shouldn't be your, that you should be using that just for some visual reference, yes, that you're showing to, yes, you want people to see, yeah, whether it's like
not that
rankings
though,
or whatever. Yeah. So you got to do something with that. But that's why I was saying, like, I had to step up my game this year. And so that hire that we just made the offer to is coming from the private equity world. So. Nice. So he or she has been managing, about $25 million in marketing revenue across a lot of different locations and different brands, but knows Service Titan in and out. So R is coming to Rhino X, yep, and I've been working with R. I'm like, dude, I've been beta testing this.
I didn't know R was coming.
Yeah, dude, speaking.
When were you going to tell people?
What do you mean?
Nobody knows.
No, everybody knows, just not you, because you don't pay attention. Shit. But
that's dope. So, I'm gonna text him right now.
Yeah, so he's coming in too. But you know, it is. We had to step up our game too, and do it for him. Like, go in, look at the lead attribution, find out what's wrong, what isn't wrong, because add the revenue to, and then make sure the contractor knows, hey Ish, you got $572,000 in pending contracted revenue that came from our leads.
Jesus Christ.
And so then I want to put a number to it. I want to put, what did you pay? What did you pay
for those leads?
Yes. That way we know exactly what did they even look for. So you can't pull this bullshit of like, oh, they searched for next gen. It said, well, they fucking typed in AC repair.
Bro.
And chase it all the way down. So that's what I'm trying to roll out. That way because I'm still doing the CSR, you know, the CSR assessments. I brought CSR coaching in house last year with Liz. She's a badass, you know, and I'm trying to do all the things to be the solution.
I don't think people thank you enough for that, though. I don't think people thank you enough for all the things that you're not supposed to do that you do for the contract.
I'm an agency, dude. It doesn't work like that.
No, yeah. I get it. But, like, you're just supposed to provide the leads, and the leads get taken, you know, by the contractor.
You know where I really messed up, I think, over all these years is, and we just had this conversation, and I messed up from what I thought the contractors would do. This is where I'm going with it. It's not.
I get where you're going right there.
I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it the right way.
There you go.
This is how you track. Well, this is what legit a lead is, a new bookable lead and service call. But I wasn't ever, no contractor was looking at that and actually comparing apples to apples ever. So I was like trying to be the good guy, do it right, make it really, really, really drilled down. But they're used to just looking at leads in a different
way. Exactly.
They're like,
why don't I have leads?
I got, my cost per lead was, $14 in LA. I'm like, bullshit. That's how you know it's already fucking wrong.
Exactly.
But I had done that forever because that is the integrity of this business. You know me personally, you know how we run this business. This is how we work. But I think I screwed myself a lot by assuming that eventually it would catch on, and it didn't. Mm-mm. But this, like bringing on DataCube and some of these things, is starting to level up the game again, which is like, cool. We've been doing this shit for 16 years. So that part I'm grateful for. And the reason I thought it was important to bring it up is like, this is the year you might want to keep track of your shit really, really good.
Bro.
And onboarding with it isn't difficult to get it all set up.
It's quick, easy. I think in the next 6 months, you're going to be able to auto onboard online just by putting your information. One of our reps will call you just to show you how to upload pictures and your logo onto the dashboards. But you'll be onboarded within 24 hours instead of a week or something.
You know what I love about all this? Like, it's interesting that you and me are just sitting here having this conversation about shit you've created. Not even next gen at the moment, right?
Yeah, man, that's dope.
But this is like a look into, if you look past like all the flashy shit, like this is a look into the actual heart of Ishmael Valdez. That's what that is. And it is, do I want to make money? Yeah,
of course.
But if you could do it by also helping creating these,
of course,
that's the game.
I think you just define why I do things. Like, to me, when I was growing NextGen and I was going through my journey, the whole time I was looking at the problems that were occurring in front of me, and everybody from our past contractors, they just brushed through it. Instead of like, okay, cool, there's a problem. There's nobody knows who installed these fucking units. Yeah. How about we fix that? Okay, thermostat. Hey, there's a problem. Nobody knows like who's hot, who's not. Everybody gets old data from their service managers. It might be inaccurate data or whatever it is. Nobody's really displaying performance. Cool, let's fix that. And I'm telling you in a cool way, there's more shit that I haven't even thought about I'm not capable of thinking about. Like, we all need to work together. LSD, the whole industry needs to work together and start like raising the bar and start infusing more technology to be able to, dude, bottom line, profit more.
Yeah.
The fuck, there's nothing wrong with profit.
No.
But we need to use the thermostat, the data cubes, service line, everything that's accessible to us to be able to capitalize on it and add more points to the bottom. Dude, there's nothing wrong with profit. I'm not ashamed of profit, man. Honestly, I'm not, because that means that I'm looking at things a different way. I'm working on the operation to be able to produce it more. So that's what we got to do. And that's what I'm going to keep doing. I promise you one thing, as long as I'm here in the trades and as long as I'm, working inside the businesses, I'm always going to look for something to innovate. Always going to look. And I don't do it for, the money obviously is dope, but like I do it, just imagine how much, like if we could help a million contractors instead of a couple.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's been cool about, and this is a really cool segue. Well, by the way, like congrats on like, those were two major things in addition to a major thing.
That's
with NextGen. But it is fun to be sitting in conversations with all of us, especially when you get into like our LSD calls, because you kind of got a little bit of a version of it on one of the past episodes.
That one was dope.
But we go sometimes super deep. And it is cool to hear everybody like throwing out their ideas. Yep. And like, and you look at just the group of us and the different skill sets that we all bring to the table that we're thinking through the different things and stuff. But that's the one commonality between all of us, is that it's the intention is to help the industry.
100%
Because we've all done
100% Dude, the intention of LSD is 100% to be able to innovate and help people out. That was the whole idea behind the group message is, hey guys, like, we're all dope. We're all talking to each other on an everyday basis. How about we put each other on a group?
Yeah.
You know, the LSD name was a dope ass name. I came about it. Right. But I'm saying, like, how about we all like work on it? Like everybody, like, dude, Tommy is a beast at the cost center. Right. Tom is a beast at financials. Aaron Gaynor, he's a fucking animal at plumbing. Right. Chad Peterman, he's a freaking level headed leader that, like, just, you know, is always constantly pushing forward, whether he takes one step or 100 steps. Like, everybody has a badass fucking story and strength inside the LSD crew that makes us better. And, you know, I think that's what people need right now.
Dude, I got to tell you this. So when my mom finally, like, I was talking about LSD, our little peer group, and she's like, how did you come up with the name LSD?
Only Ishmael would have come up with something that dumb.
I was like, no, it's not what you think. Like, it's not what you think. No, you know, but it was funny, you know, because I mean, it is, when we came up with it, I was like, it makes sense to us, like, to our little group.
Dude, we're degenerates, whether we see it or not.
You know, and it's fun, like, all good. But we, you know, we challenge each other, you know, not just from our business, but from like a
personal level.
Like, you know, like, you got in such good shape and you're focused on your health and doing all this stuff. And I know, because I saw all the pictures.
I'm trying to get everybody to sober up.
That's right. Trying to get everybody to sober up. You know, I've not gotten on that one yet.
Dude, I mean, Chad is impressing the fuck out of me, man. Yeah. Honestly, that guy is on a different level right now ever since he stopped drinking. So congrats to Chad, man.
Yeah, man. I'm glad that it's being like put out there and like glorified. I think that's pretty cool.
We need it.
I've not gotten on that.
We need it now. Yet, but we need it. 2024, you need a fucking crew that's going to get you through 2024. 2024 is going to be a fucking war. Okay, and in order for you to get through that war, you need your people, man. LSD's my people, man. Right. You need those people.
Yeah, and those are people who are going to be real to you and hold you accountable and not just be a yes man.
Yeah, there you go.
You need that. Like, people who are going to talk real. And you got to be, you know, you got to be super vulnerable, like, 100% with that group, and know that you're probably gonna get, you might get your balls busted a little bit,
and we're gonna talk shit on you.
Yep.
Right, but we do it in love,
and then we're gonna fix it, exactly. And then we're gonna help each other fix it.
Exactly.
So I want to roll into this last piece of it, because we're already probably 50 minutes into this thing. Hour almost
45, baby.
Are we okay? Cool. So, I've said it time and time again. Find a good group of people, even if it's just one person. Dude, you have to start. Somebody's going to hold you accountable. Don't like overthink the process. Find the one person that you know you can, that you can reach out to, that will help hold you accountable. And if they say, "Hey, we like it to be one of you guys," you got to keep in mind, like, our group, it's hard just to get our group.
Yeah.
If we didn't, we have it booked every month the same time, and Tommy will
still miss it.
Stuff over it.
No, so it's. I'll add one thing to that. If you are going to find a group, though, or a person that you're going to vibe with, and that's going to hold you accountable, the one thing I'm going to tell you, you got to be able to respect them, man. If there's no respect in that group, I guarantee you it's going to turn into a shit show. The reason why LSD works for all of us is because genuinely, number one, we care about each other, but number two, there's so much fucking respect in there. Like, everybody in there has done something incredible in their life, and, you know, and everybody in there is willing to help each other out. So the one thing I could advise you is, whoever you choose to take on your journey and, you know, call your own crew, whatever you want to do, is make sure you guys have genuine respect for each other.
Yeah, and don't hide the bad stuff. That's where the most progress is.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, we have some pretty deep conversations too. So I'm
personal,
just
like, too.
And I, yeah.
Personal shit too.
All the above, man. So the last piece is, you know, and I want to finish off with this, because I think we're going to roll this thing out probably even next week, I imagine. Down. So this will be rolling out. We're in the first, God, it's February 1st already. Holy shit.
Before Rhino, this. For sure.
So, Rhino X, one I want to tell you, I don't know if you knew this or not. I think you did, but you gave the dopest testimonial last year, and we used that as like part of our clips. So thank you for that. It was like, it was so good. You interviewed him on that one too, right, Zach? So, perfect. So we'll do something similar again this year, but it was perfect, man. We had everybody on there. Like, to me, that's the most proud thing, is hearing not just like my buddies in there, but just the others that are just saying all the things. So I'm excited because it's coming up again, right? And it is difficult for me, because the X stands for experience. You're seeing others putting out there show name X.
Whack ass.
Legends.
Whack X, ass.
Different things, you know.
Whack ass.
And listen, I understand it, but it's not this. No. It's not Rhino
X. There's only one Rhino.
So you go to this group and I like people, there's a wait list for it. You don't just get to pay money and come to the thing. No, you man. Actually, and
you
have,
better not change that though. Once you change that,
I'm not changing.
I think it'll change. You'll be one of,
I already told you I'm not changing. Yeah. So I'm not changing. And everybody said the same thing. Leland told me last year, he's like, you need to start charging more for this thing too. I'm not doing that. I actually just brought in, you know, more sponsors this year to help pay for the things to make the experience even better. Everything's gotten more expensive. The fucking speakers have gotten more expensive. Fluoride costs.
Fuck, I'm going to start charging
a lot of money.
Fuck.
So but it's worth it because it's one hell of an experience, from the welcome party to the dinner to day session and
the one-on-ones.
So you know, you jacked my Rhino X hoodie last year, so I had
I still have it too.
Well, I have a few of them, so you're good. But I was freezing my ass off because I got like oddly cold in, you know, in Phoenix, Arizona at that time. But, you know, for the listeners, you know, just to understand whether it's, you know, Rhino X or something else, don't just go to take pictures and shit like that to these things and waste anybody's time. And don't just go and take notes and then don't do anything with this stuff, which is, you know, still what happens a lot. And I talk about it all the time. But when you went to, think about this, think about how many Rhino X you've been to.
3, 4, I think.
You've been to all of them.
Yeah.
So what is the best thing that you get from that? Not personally, because personally we're all there. I understand what you're getting personally.
Yeah.
Professionally, what is like the biggest thing that you take away from an event like that? With all the shit and things that you've done already, the relationships that you already have. You know, I love asking this question of the legends that come in and speak, like the Goodriches and the Geigers and stuff. And I love their answers.
I love the old people, by the way.
I love the old people too. by the way, I was talking about this with Peterman and Gaynor when they were out for super meeting or whatever the hell it was, one of the meetings they were out here. Doesn't it kind of feel like there's a passing of the baton happening a little bit?
100%.
And I love that. And I had that conversation with Goodrich because Ian and I went up with and spent New Year's with him and Wendy. And I said that to him, saying, how would he take that? And he's like, yeah, man, like it feels like there's a passing of the baton, like a changing of the guard is happening, which is pretty damn cool, man.
That I agree for sure.
And then we can continue to respect like that, what they've done in the business. And now it's time, you know, for another shift. All of it's cool to me.
Of course.
I'm so happy to be a part of it. And to be able to bring all that shit into one
room
is awesome. But to you, like, what do you think has been the biggest professional takeaway from that event?
I don't want to say ignorant I was. Well, I was kind of ignorant. How ignorant I was when I first started Rhino X to not thinking that, like, why you said something earlier, like, how I was nervous in there. Like, I wasn't nervous because, like, I was nervous because there's people in that room that have accomplished a million other things, more bigger and better things than myself. And the thing that I could still remember, I was nervous for them to judge me, and for them to be like, what did he do? Like, I felt when I was talking in front of people that I hadn't done anything to be able to be proud of yet. So the biggest thing that I've learned at Rhino X, and I'm still, you know, going through it, like how amazing fucking people are in there. Like the level of IQ in the operation, of EQ inside the operation, like the level of sophistication in there. It's like if you're watching a high school game and you're thinking you're like the high school stud, and then you walk into the fucking New York Yankees dugout and you see fucking 6'7", 300 fucking 25 pounds walking. Like you see those kind of players that are, you know, live and breathe the business. They feed themselves based on the business. Like me seeing that type of sophistication made me step up my game. I guarantee you, if I've never stepped into a Rhino X event, I would still be the fucking cocky, chest pounding fucking, I'm the best thing that ever happened to this industry. Walking into that room with 50 other, you know, coworkers, right? They're coworkers to me. Walking into a room of 50 other coworkers that have accomplished things that I've never imagined in my life humbled me down to be able to say, hey man, like, can I get some help on this? Right. And that's the dopest part about the Rhino X is being able to be inside of that Yankees dugout for sure.
Dude. So that like just made my day. Let me just tell you something. Anna knows this. And so I've waited years to reference this with you. So, you talk a little bit about imposter syndrome was kind of what you're feeling. Like, yeah. I feel like I didn't accomplish anything and now I got to go in front face to face with all these legends, yeah. like sitting in this room who've done big, big, 100%. Big things. And then you got to tell your story confidently.
Yeah. That's what I was nervous about.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But part of my whole entire goal with you specifically was to put you in a situation to show off what you've accomplished without all the shit, the flashed, all that stuff, to put you in that situation to step up just like they have done. And I did it again, and I did it again.
Bro.
And so very intentional. So you're going to ask Anna when we leave here about this, about, I said that in the first one, I was like, I'm going to do, so with Goodrich, I was able to help with this podcast and he was able to help me and I could say, hey, let's bring you on. Let's expose this whole other side of Ken Goodrich.
That's dope.
And that's part of what I get to give back in this industry is that, you know, Mike, you know, I got competitors, you know, that come at me all the time. I don't care. Like, if you know me, you know I want good for you, even if you're Amen. A competitor of mine. Amen. I don't care.
Exactly.
I just want to know, like, I legit want to ask questions when I'm curious about Fuck things yeah, that you're bro. Doing.
And those people in there have the answers.
And so that's just it. You cannot, if you come to a Rhino X and don't walk out with something, it's your own fault. Like, 100%. You just didn't do what you were supposed to do. And that happened with the contractor that last year. I let him in. He was small, $3 million. Said he was going to be, you know, outgoing and meet Frank or meet Leland or whoever he wanted to meet. I can't remember which person it was. He didn't. He didn't do any of those things. Didn't even hardly talk to anybody. And so at Tommy's event in Florida, we were all at, he came to me and said, hey, can I come back to Rhino X? And I said, no. I said, you can't. And he
it's
said,
it's a privilege, man.
So he said, and it was like, and I wasn't like an asshole about it. I just said, did you do XYZ? I knew he didn't. That's why I said, did you do XYZ? No. Well, why didn't you do it? I was just nervous and scared. He apologizes to me, like heartfelt, poured his heart out to me, like apologized to me, eyes watering, and said, I'm not, like, I want another shot at this year. I'm not going to do it. This is what I'm going to do this year. And so here's what I said. Prove it.
Good for
you. I said, so who do you want to talk to? Before I say yes, you have to reach out to whoever it is he wanted to reach out to. We'll get you the number. And you do those things. And when I see that, then I'll say, yeah, you're in. You can do it. And he did.
Dude,
it's pretty cool, man.
That's dope. You know what? That's dope. And why I would have said no, honestly, just because not to be a dick, though, because he took the seat that somebody else died for to be in there. And that one person that could have been there, guess what? Would have heard something and it would have changed their whole fucking business around. So number one, shame on them. I don't know who they are. But number two, like, if you are coming, bro, like, dude, don't fuck, like, listen. Like, I'm like, I shut the fuck up. Listen.
So listen, here's the thing. I can respect that person came to me and said, yeah, I messed up. I messed up an opportunity to, you know, and felt intimidated. Like $3 million contractor sitting in there with all these monster players. Yeah. You get intimidated a little bit. And if you're an introvert already,
yeah,
it is hard. I understand it, but that still takes the place. It's the unknown of who could have been.
That's an excuse in my mind though.
So this year though, like I said, yeah, it was, I think that's growth for that person, right? Okay, that was growth for that person to come in and say, okay, cool. Now they made it to $5 million.
Good dope.
And
congrats.
And so it's like, and I'll introduce you. I don't want to say it on air, but please, I'll tell you who it is. So that way you can meet with them. But that's what the event is about, man. You got to come in. It might just be that you got a cell phone number and you got somebody that you can text and reach out to. It might just be that you gave you the confidence because you heard everybody else. Like I, you know, we have the Rhino, the charge award that we give away to those who took things from it and implemented it. And I love seeing the submissions come in for it. So badass to see that. Jason Bueller won last year.
He's a dope ass dude too.
Bueller's awesome. So he'll present this year. He doesn't know that yet. He's about to find out this nice. Year. But it's exciting to be able to bring all these things together. And so this is where it's like in our LSD group, I'm like the most unique one because I'm outside the contractor box. But I know I work with so many contractors that I'm able to bring different perspectives. But
you bring a huge input into our group and a unique perspective that makes us think too. So you do marketing for us, but like your input's still fucking dope as fuck too.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate that. Well, listen, you know, we're already an hour into this damn thing. I appreciate you coming. I'm glad you finally came in, dude.
Dude, you know, thank you for having me, honestly. And congrats on the podcast and congrats on yourself too.
Thanks,
man. That was fucking dope.
So. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Let's keep hustling.
All right, listeners, you know what to do. And that's something, right? Because exactly. We gave you a couple different options of things that you can do. And again, just because it's January doesn't mean, or February, it's not too late to change some shit up if you haven't got on top of it. By the way, I promise you, you're not alone if you haven't. But you know, you reach out to somebody, find somebody who will help hold you accountable
Facebook,
if you're not doing
fucking
things.
Instagram, some dude, look for help.
Yeah, man, you can't just be ambitious. Like, yeah, gotta take action too, because otherwise, ain't shit gonna happen. And what is the definition of insanity?
So expecting a different result, right?
And doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. So don't be that for yourself, right? Yeah. Or your family, or for your employees and their families, all those things. Do something. You don't gotta do everything, but you gotta do something. No 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.